Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
Matt, we're here at a new podcasting location. Have we ever done a podcast here before?
No, I don't think we have, actually.
We've diverted from our Australian favourite Screen Verdict HQ to Cook HQ.
Yeah, I love it. You're back in Sydney. You're hanging out with the folk. You're at the old place.
Yep. And doing one of my favourite things to do when I'm back in Sydney, record a podcast in the same room as Matt.
Oh, yes. I love it. This is one of the highlights of my week.
Our energy and timing should be through the roof.
I was going to say highlight of my week. It was a pretty good week.
Top five.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll try and make it a good one. I'll see how far I can get myself up the list
with
this podcast. Mm. And there's one I'm excited for. It's a biggie.
Yeah.
Taking us back to our roots. Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Take me back to the start. You know that song? I probably don't want to sing anymore because...
No, but I clapped just to yes and the initiation.
Oh, boy. Do you reckon our podcast has been on fire since we did that comedy improv course?
Oh, yeah. The reviews have been much, much better since...
We're just switched
101
on.
101 at UCB.
I agree. And let's talk about Toy Story 4 now.
Our first ever podcast, we ranked all of the Pixar films. It's always a favorite when a new film comes out because we get to talk about a Pixar film, which we often enjoy. And then we also get to add it to our rank.
Yes. So we've got a rank of all the Pixar films. We'll go through that at the end and we'll figure out where does Toy Story 4 land. And actually, the first ever podcast we did, as you say, we ranked all the films. Cars 2 had just come out and Cars 2 was the bottom of that list. So
did not fare well.
No, and there was quite a sizable gap between that and the second last one. But the film that after lengthy discussion and deliberation came out on top was Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3. All the Toy Stories were fared fairly well, especially 1 and 3.
Yeah.
3 taking top spot. Mm. So big and shoes to fill.
Yeah, ironically, Toy Story 3 came 1 in our rank and Toy Story came 3 in our rank.
That's why I said top, because I said if it came 1, I was like, this is just going to confuse the listeners.
Yeah.
But Toy Story 4, will it live up to those expectations? I was actually worried when I heard it was coming out because I thought the ending of Toy Story 3 was perfect. It wrapped up the series in such an emotionally satisfying way. It risked messing it up.
Mm.
We could have Arrested Development all over again.
Yes. I was worried too. As well. I was worried as well. because...
What were you worried for?
Well, the interesting thing, I was worried when the third one came out too. And I was a bit worried, oh no. The first two, that was your... Pretty much like, there's not many movies where the sequels like lives up to the original. Toy Story and Toy Story 2 did that. Now they're going to ruin it with a third one. And the third one was the best of all three and amazing and wonderful, best movie of that year. So you'd think... Matt, why would you be worried about Toy Story 4? Because last time you worried about this, it was fine. It was all good. Two reasons. One is we've had some underwhelming sequels since. So this is we're living in a post-Cars 2 world. And the other thing is, as Jonathan said, that third one wrapped up the story. Like it was a complete arc. Like that last sort of shot, that last scene of Toy Story 3 I felt was the perfect way to end and land that plane and to why do it?
Toy Story 3 had been a 10 out of 10, but the ending was a little open-ended or left room for a new storyline, I'd be less worried. But as you said, this is... You couldn't end the series in a better way.
Yes.
I mean, maybe you could. You could blow my mind and top it with Toy Story 4. But that was my feeling going into it.
Yeah. I always think, why not instead just do, like, I don't know, call it Toy Story 4 if you want to do Toy Story, but make it a new group of toys. Like, try to set off the Toy Story, the new class. and then you're not...
Toy Story, the college years.
Yeah. Where you've got a new kid, new bedroom, whole bunch of new toys. Maybe they also have a Woody and it's just a different Woody. Like something like that. And then if it's rubbish, everyone can just go, well, there we go. Like,
yeah, it was its own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The stakes were lower.
Yeah.
But the stakes could not have been higher.
No.
Toy Story 4. We're back with the gang. Woody, Buzz, all your favorites.
Mm.
So we're going to do spoilers. It's been out for a little bit. So we'll do a quick spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Woo, 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 woo. So we can talk about anything that happens in the movie now.
Anything.
It's carte blanche. Is that like whatever the... I can't pronounce it as well.
If we have any French listeners, please correct...
Carte blanche.
Like, I think that's the correct one. I'm going to use that from now on.
We'll get our croissants and... croissants and baguettes. Okay.
Toy Story 4 coming at you. So
I don't know how you want to talk about this. Like, set up, new characters, what do you want to do?
Yeah, so I guess we start with, I guess, sort of a familiar territory where Woody is being played with less.
Mm.
And he's worried that when Bonnie goes to, is it her first year at, is it kindergarten?
Yeah.
He's worried she's not going to be, she's going to be sad without any of her toys.
Yeah.
So he sneaks into the backpack and goes to visit kindergarten. At kindergarten, Bonnie makes, with some little arts and crafts, she makes Forky.
Yeah.
Forky's kind of the centerpiece of the film, the new character. What did you think of Forky?
Okay, I like Forky, but... Just a quick question, like, so she made him out of a spork, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't he called Sporky? Like...
That's a good question. I'm not sure Bonnie knows the difference between...
It is this is the mind of a, what, three-year-old girl or five-year-old, I don't know, young girl. I liked it. Voiced by Tony Hale, one of our favourites from Arrested Development and Veep.
Friend of the podcast.
Do you know any winners? Yes.
At least your friend.
I have met Tony Hale. The thing I've learned about Tony is he loves free food at events. That's right. Yeah.
He's just like us.
Yeah. Yes. Still a regular guy. Two-time Emmy winner. Just loves a free feed.
Didn't let it get to his head.
Yeah. And now, speaking of food, he is playing a fork.
Yeah. Forky, I wasn't sure what to think
Spork.
Of...
Spork.
I wasn't sure what to think of Forky at first. Because they just kept saying trash and essentially trying to kill themselves.
Yeah.
It was... it was... I don't know. It was just very odd. It was kind of like a... The sense of humor that I think it was going for... was perhaps a little bit new for Pixar. Don't you think this was a bit surreal? Like it was a bit off the wall?
So it was, the idea is he's a spork who's now been turned into a toy. So he wasn't a toy before and now he is. And he's coming to terms with, like he just thought his life was to help someone eat spaghetti and then get thrown out. So he thinks his purpose in life is to be rubbish.
Yeah.
And now he's being told, no, you're a toy. Your purpose is to like... you know, entertain a child. So I actually really liked this. I thought it was funny, him just running off going trash, trash, and just like, but you've seen for three movies how important all these toys view their role as toys. And to see someone who sort of is sort of not buying into that sort of like thing and sort of trying to learn what it means to be a toy is interesting to me. And I think it was very funny. I think it was like an interesting thing and tapping into new ground. Like it sort of was like, what makes something a toy? And how do you become a toy? And when you become a toy, like what does that, you know, like what does that mean? And like I thought it was a really rich and interesting
bit like Buzz grappling with that he's not a real astronaut.
Yeah.
He's a toy. Forky is grappling with that. I'm not just a piece of cutlery. Yeah. I am now a toy.
Yeah. Life can be something greater than just being in the garbage. So I like that. I actually thought this was really good and one of my favorite aspects of this movie.
So the family goes on a road trip and Forky gets lost.
Yes, which is Bonnie's. Is it Bonnie? Is Bonnie the girl or?
Yes, we to clarify. When we're talking about Bonnie's understanding of things like forks and sporks, it's the character in the film, not my wife and former podcast guest, Bonnie Eafin.
Yeah. Who understands most cutlery,
as
from what
far
I
as I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Is on top of her cutlery.
Okay. So yeah, so she goes on the trip, and Sporky or Forky is not just.
You're really stuck on this. You're like, it's a Spork, damn it.
Forky.
I'm deducting 2 points from my score because it's a Spork.
Forky is her, not just a toy, he's her favorite toy.
Number one.
So when he goes missing, it's because he jumps out of the RV. He's had enough of this whole. He's, yeah. I bet he's just, you guys are weird. I'm just out of here. Like, so he's out. Woody sacrifices him. He jumps out of the RV to find Forky and bring it back. Good move. She's not that into Woody anyway. Yeah. If something happens to him, it's not going to be a huge issue.
So, yeah, Woody goes to look. That's kind of the main storyline, trying to retrieve Forky, bring him back to Bonnie, and they have a few misadventures along the way, including getting stuck at the antique shop.
Yes. So Bonnie's family goes to a carnival or a fair. The other toys, since Forky's missing, that stalls up the RV a bit because they want to spend an extra day looking for her favourite toy, and I think the rest of the toys staying around the RV pull a few little numbers on them to get the RV staying there a bit longer. And somehow someone gets stuck in an antique shop.
Yes, because I guess one of the subplots is that Woody has been thinking about Bo Peep.
Yeah.
And he sees, what is it, her lamp?
Her lamp. Oh, yeah, lamp. And lamp. Oh, no, the lamp. Yeah, the lamp.
In an antique store. And so goes looking, but they end up getting trapped. So sort of a villain in the antique store.
Yeah.
The doll without a voice box. Is that right?
Yeah.
What did you think of her and those kind of, I don't know how to describe them, not Chucky dolls, but they had like, What do they look like?
Ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah,
yeah, the ventriloquist dummies. The,
they were kind of creepy though. What did you think of them as kind of villains in the film?
Yeah, they're okay. Like, I don't know. They're in an antique store. They're wanting to control the antique store, and they think they need to look perfect, and maybe they want to get bought or something. I don't know. Like, I wasn't that riveted in. I don't think they were a great. They were creepy.
Yes, the fact that they didn't talk and just were kind of like henchmen for her was, yeah, sort of interesting. They were creepy, but were not the most riveting villains. Her storyline about feeling like she needed to look perfect so that a child would want to get her from the store, and they wouldn't want to get her unless her voice box or whatever it was called worked. I feel like that was a somewhat clever storyline, and you did sort of feel for her at the end. But I don't know if she was one of the best Toy Story villains per se.
No, I would agree. They meet Duke Kaboom.
He was a funny character.
He was pretty funny. I didn't mind him as just a side character. They always do, every Toy Story movie, I think they introduce a few extra side characters. Right, and he was quite a good one. Like, I don't think, you know, he didn't drive the story as much and things, but he had a little backstory, which is interesting, and yeah, liked him.
So
Woody meets Bo Peep. Peep's not dead. She's alive, and she's
just out living her life. She kind of brings up an option to Woody, which I don't know has ever been available to any of the toys before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but has a toy deciding, once they are aware that they are a toy, deciding, no, my purpose is not to entertain and support and love and help children, but I can just go off and do whatever I want?
Yeah. I don't think that's been a thing that the film series has addressed before.
So Bo Peep's just been off having adventures.
Yeah.
She's got a remote control car. She's got a little cop friend. I don't know what the name of that toy is.
Yes.
It's the Sarah Silverman, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's just traveling around, living life, having adventures, kicking butt, and says, Woody, you can do the same.
Yeah.
But Woody's like, no, I'm a toy.
Yeah.
Got to get Forky back to Bonnie.
Mm.
Did you think that there was a a correct way to go, or that they were free to make their own choice. Like, if you were Woody, would you identify with what would your stance be?
I think they're both valid choices to make, depending on the context of your situation. So, like, I think it's fine to go, look, I've had 5 kids over the years. I've just been passed down. It's time to sort of just move on from that. Also, like, I feel like a Bo Peep toy is not really going to be a toy that's maybe kids are getting into anymore anyway. Like, right? Like,
yeah, is that something that the series touched on, technology?
I feel like they've touched a bit with the Woody Buzz thing. It was like, cowboys aren't cool anymore. Spacemen are cool now. Yeah. But I always feel like even cowboys might not be as popular as they used to be. There's still like, kids still like cowboy things a little bit. Like, there's still like...
I feel like it's less about the character and more about the form of the game or the toy or technology. Like, I know that I'm getting old because I'm 30, just to clarify. Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling old at 30 because I'll see things like 3-year-olds playing with iPads, and that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with technology, but not at that age.
Yeah.
And so to see kids, they'll just, it might be a cowboy game, it might be an astronaut game, but these little 3-year-olds are just tapping the screen, playing with iPads while their parents shop or whatever. So. Yeah. I feel maybe they just didn't think there was anything funny there or interesting there, but you would imagine realistically in a world where toys are conscious, like the toys in Toy Story, that they would be worried about iPads because they would be getting replaced by iPads.
And to be fair, Bo Peep, I think, like, I wasn't judgmental of Bo Peep's choice because wasn't she in the antique store and escaped or something? Like, it's not like she was a child.
She didn't run away from a child.
Yes.
She just wasn't looking for the next child.
Yeah.
She's like, once I got out of the antique store, I just want to be a rambling.
Yeah. So I think that was, I thought that was like interesting, this idea of leaving the entertainment industry and just having a bit of retirement years out at the carnival, driving around in cars and causing some mayhem.
And that's kind of the crux of the film. Is there anything that we want to touch on?
There's Key and Peele. Key and Peele are in it.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty funny. So they're 2 prizes at one of those, like, you know, throw the bucket in the ball or knock over the cans or whatever. And they're like, Buzz ends up in there as a prize. And, they sort of have some funny banter and things.
That was another thing that I thought was kind of a departure from your typical Pixar comedy. A sense of humor was the, what were they, like the visions? Was it of I can't remember which really, one it was.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he'd just blow up to be this big toy and start shooting lasers. Kind of like, it was like dream sequences. I don't think Toy Story's ever done anything like that before.
Yeah. I don't know if I like that or not. I think at times it worked and at times it didn't. To be fair, like, I do think there were moments where I was like, oh, really, when they were talking about their different ways they could, like, get out of the antique shop or something.
And
they,
yeah, well, I swear, like, one of them goes for, like, 2 minutes. Yeah, just about, like, following this woman home.
I thought that was actually quite funny. I thought it was interesting how they, like, you know, they were making fun of Buzz Lightyear, like, to infinity and your face or something like that. And I was sort of like, so I would imagine they've just come straight from the factory to the carnival, right? Like, it's not like hand-me-down toys that are at those.
Don't think the carnival's giving out second-hand prizes.
Yeah, they're cheap out. They're not good quality, but they are new. So they're like, it's interesting they know references to the, like, sort of like Buzz Lightyear's catchphrase and things like that.
Guess a buzz must have come through the carnival.
Yeah, maybe a kid's got the show bag, the Buzz Lightyear show bag that says, is that an American thing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I was watching TV and someone made a show bag joke and I was like, man, I haven't heard about show bags in years. That takes me back.
Yeah. In Australia, we have a Easter show where there's a rural sort of carnival. They've got rides, they've got cotton candy, they've got carnival type food and stuff like that, some animals are down there, you can go see and pat the animals. And there's the big thing is there's the show bag pavilion. There's all these, like, you can just go in and buy, you've got to, at the end of the show, buy your show bag. So you get chocolates or novelty toys. Like, you know, they've had Toy Story show bags, but they've also have, like, Cadbury chocolate show bags and things. Anyway.
It's just how much cheap merch can a company put into a plastic bag?
And charge for, like, $15. Some of them are expensive. I was at the show this year. You get, like, $40 bags.
$40 show bags.
Yeah, like the Stranger Things bag was huge. You got like a Stranger Things backpack, a hat like that kid with the without the teeth. Like,
cashing in on that
bug. Coasters, yeah. Anyway, I digress. yeah, sort of interesting. Is that pretty much...
Yeah, I feel like that covers the storyline.
Other than the ending.
So, in the end, they are successful in their escape from the antique store. They are able to get back to the carnival in time before the family departs in the RV and reunite Bonnie with Forky. It was here all along.
Yeah.
And then Woody is left with the choice of what to do. Does he join the toys on the RV as well, or does he run away with Bo Peep? And I felt like this was a somewhat impactful ending.
Mm-hmm.
We've been connected to Woody now since 1996, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had like a similar, I believe when we talked about Toy Story 3, we had a similar connection to Woody that Andy did.
Yeah.
Like, we were children when we first got introduced to Woody. We've grown up
now. We were Andy's age, roughly, I would imagine, when that movie came out. And then maybe we aged a little bit quicker than Andy, like, but not really. Like, we were still at college when Toy Story 3 came. I guess he was just moving to college and we'd probably were a few years into college, but very similar. Like,
yeah, I think it came out 2010, so I would have been 21. So pretty close.
Yeah. So... We grew up with Andy. We grew up with Woody.
And so we got to see Woody passed down to a new generation. And now we're watching Woody, I guess, move on completely, not just passed on to another generation, but passed on to a whole new life.
Yes. So he chose Bo Peep.
He chose Bo Peep and moved on. And I kind of felt like Woody was leaving me. And I felt for the toys as well that were losing Woody as their friend. And I wasn't sure how I felt. I was a little bit mixed about it. I felt touched by it, but also a bit, well, this isn't Woody. This isn't what toys do.
Yeah.
Now I'm worried that my toys can leave me.
Yes. I had three feelings about this.
What was number one?
For one, it was to some degree powerful. Like, you know, there was some emotion because we'd grown up with... The next one is it felt a bit rushed. Mm. It felt like this wasn't necessarily the arc of this movie or the arc of the series as a whole, and it felt like a rushed decision at the end. Two, I felt like the first three movies... Woody choosing to go with Bo Peep over Bonnie, this new kid who's not that interested in him, makes sense to me.
Right.
But it was more a choice of Bo Peep over Buzz.
Hmm.
And I feel like it was, that wasn't really tapped into much at all in the movie, like the friendship of Woody and Buzz. And for me, it felt like Toy Story for all these years has been more a movie about friendships than a movie about romance.
Yes.
And I felt like it was a bit of a, didn't do good service to the friendships, the movie. So, yeah. Like, you know, you've had Woody and Buzz and Jessie be romantically involved and Woody and Bo be romantically involved. And obviously the Potato Heads are married. But that's never been at the forefront and that's never driven the story or the choices that the characters made. And so for me it was a bit jarring that. Maybe they were all my thoughts. I can't think of the third one.
Yeah, I would say that the relationship between Woody and Buzz and Mr. Potato Head and I'm forgetting everybody's names.
Rex, now. Ham.
Yeah, Rex and
Slinky
Ham.
Slinky Dog.
They, I'd say those are just as important as the relationship between Woody and Bonnie.
Yes.
Because even though we love the ending with Bonnie at the end of Toy Story 3, we've only sort of known her a little bit, whereas we've been with these toys for four movies.
Yeah. And how do we, like, just be honest, like, with, but like, for a movie that has the breakup of Woody and Buzz, and people move on, and maybe that's what they're trying to say, but how many scenes do we have with Woody and Buzz? Like, wouldn't you want to see more of the movie about them, and then that sort of, like, we had one last good run together sort of thing before splitting up?
Yeah, they only had a couple of scenes together, and it was more Buzz trying to get Woody's attention, and Woody was too focused on what he was trying to do.
Mm.
So, Buzz, hard done by.
Yeah.
In Toy Story 4.
Mm.
So do you see this as the final final?
I don't think it can be. Wow. Like, I didn't like the ending. I don't like the third one. It ends with you're like, this is the perfect way to end this. And this one ends and you're sort of a bit unsatisfied and you're like, that can't be the ending. Like that can't, a rushed thing where Woody leaves Buzz and they just sort of like, that's it. They've got to get back together at some point. Like, so I sort of feel like there's more story to be told.
Interesting. I thought this felt like a final final.
Okay.
I felt like even though they probably didn't need to because the ending of 3 was so good, there was still potential for stories because that group, that gang, those friends were still together and they were with Bonnie and it'll be a new environment. And if you wanted to, you could have kept that story going. But now I feel like they've broken the story. They said, no, there is no more potential for stories and hijinks and adventures with this gang because Woody has left. Woody has gone. And that means no more stories. I mean, we could do a story without them, without Woody, but no one would want to watch that. So this is it. Woody is, as much as we love the other characters, Woody is the centerpiece, and this is Woody's final decision. I'm no longer a toy to children. I am my own thing. It couldn't be Toy Story. It would just have to be something else. He's not a toy anymore.
Can't Woody just come back?
You can't
back?
Just have Story 5.
Can't there just be something like, you know, Woody comes back. Guys!
I've made a huge mistake. Yeah.
Bo's in trouble. We need your help or something. Something comes up on the news, something to do with Woody, and like Buzz is like, Woody's in trouble, guys. We're going to help him. Like, I don't know. Like,
can you bring it back? Yes. You can always find a way. I guess my logic is if they did that, it's kind of like when a show kills off a character and then you find out they weren't really dead.
Yeah.
It kind of takes something away from the show because you lose the power of a death, you know, because you no longer fear death for characters or believe death for characters.
Yeah.
So they could break that rule, but I feel like they've made that choice for Woody to do that. And if they were to come back on that, it would feel manufactured and really just a cash grab to make another movie.
Do you think Disney were putting a lot of pressure on them for this Toy Story 4? They're like, come on, guys, like money. And Pixar thought, okay, we'll make your Toy Story 4, but we're going to blow this up. We're going to just, you know, as you said, break the wheel.
Maybe, but I don't think Pixar films are struggling at the box office.
No.
Like, Matt, take the wheel. I'm going to find out how those films did compared to the last.
Yes. Since we're getting near we're going to need to wrap up this podcast soon because we have people coming round. Including Bass, from what I believe, friend of the podcast. Something I'd like to say that I was a bit disappointed in this film too is I think with the Forky storyline, they had a really strong, fertile territory to delve into. And it was something they hadn't really touched on before, this whole sort of existential crisis of a trash becoming toy. And I think it was a fairly complicated idea for them to delve into. And I feel like halfway through the film, they just dropped that to focus more on the antique storyline and the girl with the toy without her voice box. And I feel like they were trying to do a bit too much. And I feel like we lost that. Like, I feel like Forky really should have been the core of the story. And it's sort of almost like the first half of the movie is very Forky driven. And then the second half of the film is very antique toy without a voice box driven. And I think the first was a more compelling story that didn't get its satisfying conclusion because they'd moved on to something else.
Yeah, I felt like Forky was... I was a little unsure about Forky at first, but once I bought into it, I did end up really liking Forky. And I did want a bit more from Forky himself.
Mm.
Because I thought we mostly just got Forky reacting to Woody and then reacting to things in the antique store.
Yeah.
And we didn't really get Forky's thoughts on things, which I don't think we should have got initially because he hadn't developed those. But I would have liked to see more of a transition, Forky drive the story a bit more.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest, I saw this movie about three or four weeks ago, so I might not remember, but I couldn't tell you how Forky realizes he's a toy and accepts that he's a toy.
By the end?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what was the big turning point for him or, like, what connected him.
Yeah, I think he does by the end.
Yeah.
But I agree, maybe, what was that? There wasn't that one scene where it was like, I'm a toy.
Yeah, which I think was interesting because it was very...
he's away from Bonnie, yeah, as well.
It's very interesting because they spent a lot of that first half of the film laying the groundwork for that moment. And I think they just sort of dropped it with the toy in the antique store. So it wasn't even they dropped Forky to focus on characters that we had investment in over years. And they go, look, we can't make this all about Forky. It needs to be... they sort of dropped the Forky storyline in expense for another new character that was less interesting.
Hmm, I would agree with that a little bit.
Yeah, anyway, what have you
just
found
to get out? Back to my, yeah, the theory of whether Disney needed Toy Story to boost their numbers at the box office. Toy Story 3 did just over $1 billion.
Mm.
Since then, I won't go through all of them, but they've been generally 500, 700, 800, 300. Finding Dory cracked $1 billion.
Yeah.
Back to 300, 800. Incredibles 2, $1.2 billion, actually the highest grossing of all time. And then Toy Story 4 did just under $1 billion.
Mm.
So only two films have reached $1 billion since Toy Story 3, and they were both sequels, Finding Dory and Incredibles 2. So I would say that somewhat supports your argument that they would have been pretty keen for a Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Not that the other films were flopping, but they weren't the monster hits. Yeah. That those sequels were.
So look out, guys. The Good Dinosaur 2. I think that's their one flop. I think that's Pixar's one, like...
what did it see? Yeah, 332 worldwide.
But bam.
Cars 3, only 383. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Cars might be in trouble. One that will be disappointing for Disney because that is more merchandising. We didn't see much of Barbie in this movie. That she was a big breakout character in... the third film, people love the Barbie and Ken scenes, so they were quite funny. Do you think they weren't getting the Barbie money? Do you reckon, yeah, there was Mattel or whoever, yeah, makes Barbie toys and said, we're not going to give you money this movie? They're like, oh, fine, we don't need them.
Yeah, yeah. Light out your character.
That is the thing with Toy Story when there's like, because Woody and Buzz have been just made up in that world, and then, correct, there's other toys that were toys before, yes, Toy Story. Like Barbie or Mr. Potato Head, and you always wonder what deals are being made about, like which toys get. We should probably give it a score and quickly rank them because Bass is probably minutes away. Luckily, they've had a baby this year, so probably they're
an excuse for everything
to be. Yeah, might not even be coming.
Once that you come to your son's clarinet recital, ooh, I'd love to, but the baby.
Yeah.
All right, Toy Story 4. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny. I thought we got some great new characters, mainly Forky, but some of the other ones, like we mentioned, like the Canadian motorcycle stuntman,
Duke-a-boom,
and Key and Peele were super funny. I was generally pretty invested in the storyline, and I was emotionally impacted by the ending, by Woody's choice to leave. So I thought that was somewhat a success in terms of getting me to care about that. Was it the most satisfying? I'm not sure. It left me a little sad. I'm not sure that's what I wanted from Woody. But at the same time, I wasn't angered by it. I don't think they ruined the series. I think throughout the film, it felt like a Toy Story film. It remained true to the series. I just don't think they hit the incredibly high benchmark that they set for themselves with the basically perfect Toy Story 3. So a comparative disappointment is still a very good film, in my opinion, and I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
I thought there were some things that worked really well with this movie. I think, you know, some great, funny new characters. The animation was incredible, as you would expect with Pixar. Some really nice moments. But I feel like they rushed things in the storytelling. I don't think the final scene was earned by the film. I feel like they dropped an interesting storyline at expense of a less interesting storyline, and I felt unsatisfied at the end of it. Going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay, so...
Wait, not a horrible movie. Like, I'm sounding very critical. Like, it was a good movie, but yeah, 7 out of 10, not...
So, here we go. That might make it a little tricky to rank. If we're on the same page, it makes it a little easier. Yeah. This time, a little bit of a difference of opinion. I liked it a bit more than you. So we're going to give you our rank. This is our debated list where we've negotiated for where each spot Pixar film should land, and we're going to see where Toy Story 4 should end up.
Okay, I like
it. So, Matt, do you want to read the list?
I'm happy to. We'll go top to bottom.
Yeah, top to bottom.
Number 1, Toy Story 3. Number 2, Monsters, Inc. 3, Toy Story. 4, Up. 5, Wall-E. 6, Inside Out. 7, Coco. 8, Ratatouille. 9, Finding Nemo. 10, The Incredibles. 11, The Incredibles 2. 12, Toy Story 2. 13, A Bug's Life. 14, Finding Dory. 15, Monsters University. 16, Cars. 17, Cars 3. 18, The Good Dinosaur. 19, Brave. And 20, Cars 2.
There you go. There's our 20 Pixar films. Where will the 21st one
rank? And you might not agree with me on this, Jonathan, but I own the opinion that our top 8 are sort of your top tier Pixar films, from Toy Story 3 down to Ratatouille.
I would agree with that.
They're the ones
I'm pretty passionate about, all of those films.
Yeah, like that's your top shelf. All of those films are so incredible, in my opinion.
So let's do some...
Ironically, The Incredibles are.
Let's do some quick markers. Is it better than Toy Story 3?
No.
Is it worse than Cars 2?
No.
So it's not the best and it's not the worst.
Okay. Yes, I'd agree with that.
All right, let's go with another marker. Does it crack the top 10? Do you think it is better than the first Incredibles? No. I would say...
Oh, here we go.
I would say no, but I'd say it's close. I don't think if you said in Toy Story 4 is better than the first Incredibles, I would disagree, but I wouldn't say you're crazy.
I think you'd be like maybe crazy's a bit far, but I'd say that's not a good opinion.
Okay. Coming back down, Cars 3, one we reviewed recently, kind of setting a fairly low bar at 17. How do you think it compares to Cars 3?
I probably preferred Cars 3, maybe, but maybe because I was less invested in the Cars characters, so maybe there was less of a bar to clear. So like that I'm not gonna, like, if you are passionate that it's better than Cars 3, or you think it clearly is,
I feel quite strongly it's better than Cars 3.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Okay, so bumping up.
Can I just put, like, here's a marker for me. This is the worst Toy Story film.
That was what I was going to. Toy Story 2.
I'd find it very hard to say that this was better than Toy Story 2.
I would agree with that. I very much enjoy Toy Story 2. It's one that I feel like I need to rewatch. I've watched all of the others recently. Toy Story 2, I haven't. But I would, based on memory and gut feel, I would say it is below Toy Story 2.
That trilogy, those first three are so good, I'd feel very uncomfortable having Toy Story 4 in the mix.
Okay, so we have our range. We've narrowed it down to, there's four films to compare it against: A Bug's Life, Finding Dory, Monsters University, and Cars.
I think it's worse than all of those. However, I would be uncomfortable if it was above A Bug's Life. Like, I think Bug's Life's a great and underrated Pixar movie, A Bug's Life.
Okay.
Finding Dory, Monsters University, and Cars, I'm a bit more, like, less passionate about.
So here's the thing about a compromised, or a negotiated list, and one done of many films over many, over a long period of time. I would probably say I prefer it to Finding Dory and Monsters University, but you could convince me that Cars was better, but Cars is the lowest on that list.
I'm actually exactly the same opinion as you, is that actually Cars, I think, is better than Toy Story, but I am so, Finding Dory and Monsters University, I think I think actually Monsters University were quite consistent without any great moments, and Finding Dory had some bad moments and some great moments, so it was a bit of a mixed bag. Whereas Cars, I think, is like a pretty solid Pixar movie. It's pretty consistent. It has some really strong moments, just isn't at the level of other Pixar films. So, look, as long as it's not above A Bug's Life, I don't really mind where Toy Story 4 ranks. And I actually think Bug's Life is probably, if we're talking about tiers and things, I think Bug's Life is sort of almost like there's a line in between Bug's Life and the ones below it as to that's
so where Ratatouille is your tier one.
Yeah.
Everything up your tier one. Yeah. And A Bug's Life is your tier two.
I would say so. You could break that into maybe two groups if you wanted, but I that's probably my tier two is the Ratatouille, is Finding Nemo down to Bug's Life.
My inclination would be to put it above Finding Dory, below A Bug's Life.
Look, I think at some point it's probably worth talking about whether we bump Cars up on the list.
Here's how I remember the rule. Feel free to disagree. Okay. We're not allowed to change the list unless we rewatch those films.
Yeah, I like that rule. Yeah, I don't think we should make any changes now.
Because I don't think it makes sense for our gut feeling one day to be different from our gut feeling on another day. But if we rewatch the film, that makes sense for us to reassess.
Look, I think if you want to put it above Finding Dory, put it above Finding Dory. Okay. And Toy Story 4 kicks off, for now, our third tier.
Okay, so here we go. One more time. Our new updated Pixar rank. 21 films of Pixar in order as...
You read this one out because I read it out before. I don't want to be a hog, be a list hog.
Selfless. A real buzz. 1, Toy Story 3. 2, Monsters, Inc. 3, Toy Story. 4, Up. 5, Wall-E. 6, Inside Out. 7, Coco. 8, Ratatouille. 9, Finding Nemo. 10, The Incredibles. 11, The Incredibles 2. 12, Toy Story 2. 13, A Bug's Life. 14, Toy Story 4. 15, Finding Dory. 16, Monsters University. 17, Cars. 18, Cars 3. 19, The Good Dinosaur. 20, Brave. And 21, Cars 2.
Just, I'm interested about this tiers thing now. So if we end a tier at A Bug's Life at 13... Toy Story 4 kicks off the next tier. Where would you end that tier? At Cars, maybe?
Yes, yeah. I would say that Cars 2, Brave, The Good Dinosaur, and Cars 3 are probably your bottom tier.
I'll be honest, I would give Cars 2 its own bottom tier. I think it's four tiers. You've got the top shelf tier, you've got the second amazing tier, then you've got the sort of...
Good third tier.
Then you're starting to get a bit weaker tier.
Mediocre.
And then you got your rubbish tier.
Cars 2. In its own.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I saw the movie with Chris and Jess, so shout out to them. I know they're fans of the podcast.
Did they like it?
I think they actually felt like they were a bit disappointed in the ending too, but they liked the ride. I think they didn't like the ending, but they enjoyed the ride of the film. And Chris actually, for a Secret Santa, a Christmas in July Secret Santa, we had made me a Forky.
Awesome.
With a fork.
That's one of the good things about Forky. It's very difficult to make your own Woody.
Yeah.
Forky, anyone can do it.
Probably the making your Forky looks better than the one you would buy, right? Because the one you would buy looks fake.
It will be a plastic thing, whereas you can have a real Forky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Let us know whether you agree or disagree with our thoughts on Toy Story 4 and our Pixar rank in general.
Yeah.
Just go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast and, yeah, we'd love to read out your thoughts on the next podcast, Housekeeping.
Yes. Goodbye.
That was quick. See ya.
Well, I think we're close to 45 minutes. Well, we've got to cut it under 45 minutes. 7, 8.
Bye.